Act number W14565.
Welcome to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now your host, Angelo Petitti.
Good morning and welcome to the Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. What a beautiful week we have had. It's been a little bit on the warm side and the dry. We're definitely on the dry side. The last time we had the rain was about 9-10 days ago. But with the heat and the dryness, the ground definitely dried up. So make sure that you water your lawn. Your lawn definitely needs about 1 inch of rain or water a week. The best way to do it twice, about half inch at a time. That really will penetrate down to where it's going to really get to the root system, and it's gonna hold for 3-4 days. Just watering lightly on top of the ground, it doesn't do any good. You're just better off letting the lawn go dormant if you're going to do that. So either you water it and give it an inch a week, or just let it go dormant. And then as soon as we get in the little bit of moisture, it comes right back up and it really thickens up nice. With the weather that we have had, you start to see some mushrooms and fungus in the mulch. Around your bed, sometimes you'll see these like little blotches of fungus on there. They don't do any harm. They don't, the only thing that sometimes what happens, they'll kind of, in a shotgun, manner, they will throw some tar on the siding or the brick, that you have to do some cleanup on it. There's a automotive bug and tar cleaner that cleans that up very quickly. So if you have to where you see these little black dots, they really get, quite unsightly when they get on the, especially on a light siding. But like I said, from a mulch standpoint, it doesn't do any harm to the plant or anything. Just to make sure I would put, just kind of break it up, put some lightning lime on it, and that will take care of it. That basically, help break it down. The herbs, make sure you keep cutting those herbs back, especially with the heat. The more you cut them back, the more you'll get that fresh growth, especially on basil. Sometimes basil at this time of the year gets a little tired looking. Just cut it down to like about 6-7 inches high. Let it re-break from all over. You'll have a brand new beautiful plants if you do that, and you'll be able to harvest basil all the way into October when the night temperatures get cool to where the plants won't take it. Same thing with the annuals. With the heat, they've definitely get, they're getting that harder look. If you got annuals that, they're starting to spend a little bit, or they're starting to get, look woody, give them a good haircut. Go down like about at least one third all the way around, cut them back hard, clean them all up, feed them Osmocote, and you will find that in about a less than a week, they'll be right back up and they will be beautiful and they will really perform as we get into fall. With the heat, the nuts edge has really been, very prevalent in the lawns or in the flower beds. Basically, it's that little yellow, it looks like grass, but it's very thin. It grows very quickly. Whatever you don't pull it, just, spray it. Bonite sedgeander will take care of that. So, at this time, just as you see it, do take care of it. It does multiply at a very fast rate. You'll see that that's all rhizomes. They just keep running, and it doesn't go away. It keeps coming back. It'll be back year after year with a much stronger, inventions on it that really multiplies at a very high rate. Keep your lawnmore at 3 inches. You really want to keep it high so that the grass kind of shades itself. It'll hold the moisture a little bit longer. This is also the time in the next, the end of this month, the first couple of weeks of September is really the best time to renovate your lawn. So if your lawn needs a renovation, in the next 2 weeks, between the end of August and the first couple of weeks of September is really the ideal time. The process that you need to go through, this is a very easy way to do it. So if your lawn just it's thinned out, it It's got a lot, you know, it's got some weeds in there. It's not as thick as you like it to be. The first thing that you do, spray it with a weed killer. And just go ahead and, you know, spray the weeds. Weed Beater Ultra works really well. Go ahead and spray it with that. Wait about 10 days. The weeds will be gone. Then the thing to cut the grass down as low as your lawnmower will go. Get a detacher. Run the detacher set the detacher so that 3/4 of an inch the blades are in the soil. It will really scar the lawn really well. It's going to bring all the debris up. Once you get done with that, clean it up. And then just put your fertilizer down, put your seed down, put your lime down, water it in. And within about 3 weeks, you're going to start to see the lawn really taking up, and you will see the seed germinate, and it'll have a whole new look by doing that. If the lawn is bad enough to where it's gone, the best thing to do is just go ahead and kill it. Use burnout on it. Just kill it. Cut the grass down low, then kill it, and wait about 2 weeks. By that time, everything should be down. Then you go and get it. You get the detacher. Run the detachers both ways. Sink the blades 3/4 of an inch into the soil. Clean it all up. Once you're all done, just you don't have to dig anything up. You don't have to remove anything. Just go ahead and put your seed right on top of it. Put your fertilizer. Put your lime. Water it in. And the same thing. Within about 3 weeks, you'll see the lawn start to come up, and it'll be absolutely a beautiful. Brand new lawn without much else to do on it. If you have bare spots on it, if you have areas that they're bare, after it gets all scratched up and clean it up, then after you put the seed down, just go ahead and do a little coating of sweet peat on it. Mites are really very active with the heat and this high heat and the humidity. They will definitely bring the mites out. If you see, especially on burning bush, they're very prevalent on burning bush. Alberta spruce, the spruces, you will see them on some of the flowering shrubs. So make sure that keep an eye out for them. The best thing to use is bio advanced insecticides by I think it's Bonite that makes that proper. Also on the vegetables, make sure that keep up with cleaning up all the, especially on the tomatoes, the leaves. You want to make sure that you remove anything that's dry, anything that's dead on it. The bottom leaves, spray them with copper fungicide about every week, so that if anything gets on them, you get ahead of it. So that's, that is the thing that you want to take a look for, and make sure that you water the tomatoes on the ground now. Just don't let any moisture go on top of the plants. You also see some, funguses on the lawn. They also become very apparent when you get this kind of heat and this kind of dryness. Keep an eye for that. If you start to see little patches on there, that's basically what that means. The best thing to use is Scott the Z-Zax or Infuse. Those are the things that they're most prominent at this time of the year. On the roses, keep cleaning them up. Keep taking the old flowers off as they get done flowering. Make sure that you go ahead and remove them. That will promote new growth on there, and that's where all your flowers will come. This is the last, but the end of the fertilization for the roses. By the end of this month, after this, you really don't want to feed the roses anymore for the year. You want them to run out of food when it comes November. You don't want them to go into the winter with a lot of growing energy in there, because they will be too tender, and sometimes they will split, and that's what will also kill them. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number is area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Short pause. We'll be right
back. And family owned.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
We're back. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Good morning, Howard Angelo.
Good morning, Angelo.
Morning. How are we doing?
Great. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you.
good. You mentioned about the spider mites. I've got them on both of my burning bushes, and I've been spraying since March, and they still got on my burning bushes.
Yeah, so. You're gonna when you do it about like 3 days apart. What happens is you really need to you kill the mature, then you kill the eggs. And the one that they're just hatching, it takes 3 sprays about 3 days apart. That's the only way you're going to eliminate them. Okay. But they're very resilient, and you can get it all cleaned up, and they come in waves. They just come in. They just move in from the neighbors, the area. When you get into, especially at this time of year with the heat and the humidity, they look for weak plants that they're kind of running out of. Juice on the, like burning bushes, they kind of go semi-dormant at this time, and that's what they go after.
And yeah. I was spraying them like 6 weeks apart. Should be like once a month?
No, I would do it, if you do it three times, about three days apart, they should clean them up really good. They should get rid of all the eggs and all the, and they should last for, unless you get a wave that comes in after that, they should last for, the spray on it should be good for at least 6 weeks.
6 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Actually, my question this morning had to do with little lime hydrangeas, because I'm noticing I've got several, and most of them are doing well, but I've got a couple that are their leaves are turning yellow. I was thinking they might have spider mites too, and I was looking
no.
at them. No spider mites.
No, okay. they don't get attacked by that at all. What happens is when they get the leaves get a little bit mature, you will get some, they'll turn yellow and fall off. I would feed them. I would just give them one last feed now. And, okay. that will really help them, to keep the green in them. I would also, as the flowers get spent, just go ahead and, cut those off. They will regenerate. They will rebloom again. You can get those to bloom all the way into November.
Okay.
So as you eliminate the flower, you take the flowers off. They will re-break and rebloom.
And I have a couple in my front yard, and I noticed that it looks like a deer has been chewing on the flowers. Do they? I thought they were deer resistant.
They are. I mean, what happens if the deer are born in the neighborhood, and the first as they're young, they go out and start eating on whatever. That's how they get used to eating things that they've never touched before. So that's where you see some things eaten by a deer that ever never touched, that from deer that was born in the neighborhood. And
okay.
as they're young, whatever they get accustomed to as they're young, then they'll eat things that they don't normally eat.
Okay. 'Cause there are a couple, young deer around the area.
Yeah, so that's kind of what happens. It's, they never ate hollies. They never ate, lilacs, a lot of things they've never eaten, but if they happen to nibble on that as youngins, they will, they'll keep it up for a while, and then they kind of go to that natural thing. But while the young ones are there, they will keep nibbling on them.
Okay. Yeah, it was only a couple flowers.
Yeah. So, yeah. They're not gonna. It'll just last for a little bit, and then their natural taste buds will go to what they prefer.
Okay.
But you are going to get some of that with the youngins around.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. And what's the last time to fertilize perennials?
I would just do that. If you haven't done it, just do it now and you're done.
Now, okay.
Yep.
All right.
And I would use Osmocote.
Osmocote.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Have a great day. Yep. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now.
Morning, Yara Angelo.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing okay. I have two tree questions. The first one is about a Bradford pear that was removed by the city from my tree lawn because it was such a mess. And it was replaced with a willow oak. I have a tree lawn full of shoots coming up from that old Bradford pear, and I don't have any idea if there's any way I can get rid of those. It's a mess.
Yeah, as you cut your lawn, by taking the tips off, they will eventually die. If you want to, I mean, you'd have to use a very strong Roundup like or Burnout to just go ahead and spray it. But would that part of the lawn would go with it? They will go away.
Okay.
Because by you taking the leaves off,
yes.
you're taking the food source into the root. They would sprout off of the old roots, and they also
yes.
they also dropped, you know, when the seed dropped in there. The Bradford pears is really the only one that does that. The other pears haven't done that, but the Bradfords are really noted for that problem.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm encouraged that maybe they will eventually
yeah,
go
they
away.
Will. They will.
I also have a weeping cherry that evidently has cherry spot. It's losing its leaves, a lot of brown leaves. I went to your Avon store, and I got copper fungicide, and my son has sprayed the tree twice a week in between. Is this going to work, or am
yeah,
I going to lose it?
No, you're not going to lose it. Actually, cherries, when you get into this dry period this time of the year, you are going to lose some of the foliage. It's kind of a natural thing. They will just shed some of the leaves to make up for the lack of moisture that they can take in.
Okay.
That's kind of a natural. So you will see some leaf dropping on it, but the plant will be just fine.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very encouraged.
And don't feed it. You know, they're done. If you fed it in the spring and you fed it in June, you're done.
Does it make any sense to water it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whenever we get into weather like we're in now, where there's
okay.
very little rain in sight, but what you want to do, you want to give it a real good soaking. You don't want to just water lightly. You know, put the hose there, just like a little drip, and just
okay.
leave it there for hours. That will soak it good.
Oh.
It'll be good for a couple of weeks. If it doesn't rain for 2 weeks. That moisture will last there for a couple of weeks, because it'll go down deep. That's really the best way to water when we get into a situation like this. Use either soaker hoses or just a drip on the plant.
Okay, thank you so much, and stay safe.
All right, have a great day. Yeah,
okay,
bye-bye.
Bye, Angelo.
Morning, Hour, Angelo. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, how we doing? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm calling about my hibiscus. The hibiscus has the yellow, by the big flowers, it has these yellow things. Do I leave that on or do I cut it off?
It's got yellow leaves on it?
No, not leaves. They're like yellow. Once the flowers fall off, then these yellow.
Oh, it's got the buds on it. Those yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can leave out. You can leave them on there, and then just trim it when it's all done blooming. You know, at the end of the year, or you want to get it trimmed by the end of March or early April.
Uh-huh.
But for now, just leave them on there. They're just seed pods that they stay on there, and they will eventually turn black. And they will fall off.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And another question I have, I'm calling in regard to also, is the hydrangea that I have. The leaves are turning brown. It's a big hydrangea, you know.
Is it a mop head? Is it the ones that they're blue or pink?
No. These are the stark white, and they're like, they're not round.
They're like a cone-shaped, like.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's happening to them?
The leaves, all the leaves on the plant are turning brown, and they're falling off.
It probably got way too dry, especially if it's underneath other plants where, it's preventing the moisture in there. Just soak it really well, just give it a real good soaking. Even if it loses its leaves, the plant will be fine. They're very hardy, they're very resilient. It must have got really dry on it in order for it to get to that point.
Well, how what do I feed it anything?
I wouldn't feed it now. I would just go ahead and make sure that it gets watered well, just that it gets really soaked in, that the water okay. soaks into the root system. It's been pretty dry the last couple of weeks, and depending on where the plants are at, if they're underneath an overhang or if there's a big tree by them, sometimes even though it may have rained, it doesn't get there. And the rain, the way it's been the last time we've had a good rain, it was kind of spotty. Some areas got more than others, and some areas really didn't get very much. But they need, you know, they got a lot of flowers on there. It takes a lot of energy for those flowers to be alive and, you know, and strong. It does need a, you know, good moisture, you know, on a weekly basis.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I overwatered them. I was watering them every day, but no.
You were watering them every day?
Yeah.
Well, then that is an overwatering. That is an overwatering.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Just if you only need to be watered about once a week. That's about all they need. You give them a good soaking.
Oh, that's what I was doing. I was watering it too much. And
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It never did this before.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
You don't
and
need.
I thought it was die. Will it die?
No. Just cut the water off. But you know, as a general rule, on all your plants. If we don't have any rain for a week, you just give them a good soaking once a week, let it soak down really well, and they should be just fine. But if you start watering plants heavy every day, it doesn't matter what they are, it's going to be way more than they need.
Okay, that's what I'm doing then. And then I don't have to feed it anything.
You're way too late for that, so just let it go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day. Yep.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Morning, Howard Angelo.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. I have nut sedge and clover in my lawn. I know Roundup makes a product for your lawn that claims it would take care of both. Does that make sense, or would you use two different products?
No, what I would do is I would use the Edgender. You know, that will take care of the nut sedge. And then I just would use, you know, for Weed Beater Ultra to take care of the clover.
Okay, so you use two products.
Yeah,
you know,
it takes two products for that. They don't, you know, one, the one for the nut sedge, it's really specific. It's a specific chemical that takes care of the nut sedge, and it doesn't take care of anything else but that. But the.
Okay.
The Weed Beater Ultra, which is a product that will take care of the clover, and one spray of that, it basically does it. So that's really all you need.
Okay, so once I treat that, how long do I have to wait if I want to overseed? So cut it short and deed that.
About a week. About a week. The nut sedge takes just about 1 week to go down. The clover about 3-4 days, and then what are you gonna do after you get to the lawn?
I'm gonna overseed the whole lawn, so I'm gonna cut it short and run the dethatcher.
Okay.
Clean it up,
okay. So yeah, then use the nut sedge control on the nut sedge. Use the Weed Beater Ultra. Let it go down. Then when you're ready to do that, then cut the grass down to like about 1 inch. And,
right.
then run the detacher, get the blades, sink the blades about 3/4 of an inch into the ground. And once you do that, that will tear all the underneath up. It'll bring all the debris up on top, clean that all up. And then you can, like one after the other, you put the seed down, you put your fertilizer down, you put your lime down, and water it in. And don't cut the grass for 2 weeks. Just let the seed really bed in, and then you will see that it'll be a. It takes about 3 weeks for the grass to start to germinate. You will see that the whole thing just kind of changes almost overnight. It's a very
after I see that. I'm sorry. After I see that, how do I water it?
You just water. You know, if you don't have a sprinkler system, you're just going to have to use hoses or sprinklers.
I guess I meant how often. I have a sprinkler system, but where do I set it at?
Okay, if you have a sprinkler, I would just water it every day for about 20 minutes.
Okay, how many weeks?
Just the first week. That's it. And then after that, if it doesn't rain, like twice a week, about 1/2 inch a week.
Okay.
About 1/2 inch at a time. So about 1 inch a week, about 1/2 inch at a time, but split it in two. But while you have the seed there, when you put the seed down, just run it every day, just for the first week, for about 15, 20 minutes, just enough to make sure that that seed is really bedded in.
Okay, good. And then my next question, is it possible to reproduce hydrangeas from a plant?
Oh, yeah, sure. Which ones?
How do you do that?
Which ones?
Blue and pink. I don't know what they're called.
The mopeds. You can, you know, basically what you do, you take a cutting, you can do, easiest time for you to do it would probably be, first week of September. So you take the tip.
Okay.
You put it into, you know, into a potting soil that a balanced potting soil. You put it in there. You dip it in a rutone. And then just, you have to keep it moist. The big job with this becomes misting it because it's got to have moisture on the foliage. That's about it takes about 3 to 4 weeks for that to root. And that's it.
So you mist it every day?
You have to mist it sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day.
Okay.
You keep the soil moist, but you have to mist the top. The foliage has to have a mist on it. So it doesn't dehydrate.
Okay, and do you create some type of greenhouse for it?
No.
Or do you just put it in a pot?
No, just you can do this right on a windowsill, okay. Where it's as long as it gets the light, and there's no breeze, no air on it. What it cannot take, it cannot dehydrate. That's really what the big job becomes. To maintain, you have to maintain the moisture on that foliage in order for it to feed the root system as it develops.
Okay, but don't water the pot, just mist it.
No, you water it up, you keep the soil moist, but not wet, just okay. Enough moisture. But that's one part. Then the foliage on top, that has to have moisture. It has to have a mist, like a mist on it, so that it keeps the moisture on top of the foliage. Because what happens, the moisture evaporates out of the foliage, so you need to keep the mist on it to keep the moisture on the foliage.
Okay, and you water the pot every day also?
The pot, yeah, lightly every day, yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let me know how that works out. It's, we're doing them right now. You know, we're sticking those right now. What I just told you is that's exactly what we do. It's done in large quantities with automatic misters. You can use like a mist bottle, just kind of mist right. It with that. That's about it.
And what's the best cutting to take? How do you take a good cutting?
You want to take the tip, a fresh tip, go down 2 leaves.
Okay.
So you got, when you look at the tip, there's the real light green wood. And then right below the first set of leaves, the wood, you want to go below the four leaves about 3 inches. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
You.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Yep. We're going to take a very short pause for the news. We'll be right back.
And family owned.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
You're listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Morning, Gardening with Angelo. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Angelo.
How are we doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
More than welcome.
The problem I'm having, and which I don't recall ever having it before, but my tomato plants, the bottom leaves are turning yellow, and I've tried to water them at least every other day, so I don't know. And then what did I do?
It's pretty natural for the tomatoes at this time of the year for the bottom leaves. To turn yellow and kind of, actually it's better that you remove those very bottom leaves to them. That lets more light and more air through the plants, which is that's really what they need at this time of the year. So just go ahead and remove those. You'll be doing the plants a lot of good. Watering them every other day, that's about the right, especially with the amount of dryness that we have had. You're doing it right. It's just a natural thing that happens.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Yeah.
You too.
Bye-bye. Morning, Angelo.
How are you doing today, Angelo?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I planted some azaleas back in the middle of April.
Uh-huh.
And they came up good. In the past, about 4 or 5 weeks, I've noticed two of the azaleas, the center of them, they're just dead. There's nothing on them.
Just
and it's only on the perimeter, on the outside, if they got any greenery, you know, greenery.
Okay. I don't know what could have happened to it, but what I would do is with a hand pruner, remove whatever is dried up on it. That will fill in. By the end of the summer, they should all fill back in. I wonder if, you know, maybe, I don't know, if some herbicide went on it or something went on it that would have caused just that one area to dry up. But I would just go ahead and with a hand pruner, just to remove it, and then go from there.
Just remove all the dead ones?
Yeah, just remove the dead branches on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I put any plant food on it this time of year or no?
No, you're pretty well done. Right? You really don't want them. Okay. We're done feeding. The only thing that you want to feed is evergreens at the end of October or middle of November at that time. But everything else, you're pretty well done.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Yeah. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Morning, Yara Angelo. Hello.
Good morning.
How we doing?
Okay. Yourself?
Doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I have two problems. It's the second year in a row. I can't find cucumber plants, so I planted seeds. The plants grew up nice. They look great. You get flowers on them. Then all the leaves start turning brown.
Yeah, that's a blight. Unfortunately, there's nothing that you can do to prevent. It's airborne. That's basically what happens, how that comes in. Are you planting them in the same place all the time, or are you planting them in different areas?
They're different from last year. But I'm 89 years old, and I can't dig it up anymore, so somebody did like half my usual garden, so I planted them in between the foot and a half or so that I have tomato plants.
I don't think that whatever, you know, the planting was wrong. It just, when it comes to the blight, it's airborne. Once it gets in the air and it hits on the plant, there's really not much that you get. There's no preventative that you can put on there that would prevent that from happening. That's pretty much, it does happen. You know, we've had, some areas it's more prevalent than others, but you know, in general, cucumbers make it pretty good. Sometimes they don't last as long, but they generally get to where they produce, you know, at least a couple rounds, and then they kind of get it. But at this time of the year, it's pretty. It almost happens every year when we get into August.
Okay, and then can I ask one more question about zoysia grass? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, sure.
1960, we moved into this house, and the grass has been beautiful all these years. But last year and this year, there's some kind of I call it lay-down grass. It just creeps. It doesn't stand up with blades, and it's covering the zoysia.
Yeah, it's probably crabgrass that it's creeped in there.
Well, it's not. Crabgrass is like bigger bigger blades and everything you stick up, but this is like a lay down. I call it lay down grass.
Yeah, it
because you can pick it up and remove it very easily. Crabgrass is a little tougher to get out.
Yeah, I'm surprised that anything got through the zoysia because that grass is so thick that generally nothing gets through there. And you've had zoysia since 1960.
Yeah, when we moved into this house, the people that. We bought it from, said, oh, take care of the zoysia, and here's this plugger. As I get up in age, you know,
I'm surprised it didn't sponge up on you. That it didn't kind of create that sponge underneath that sometimes it's even hard to get a lawnmower through. But you don't see very much of that around here, because it dies off at certain times of the year, and then it comes right back. But I would just use a weed killer. That should get rid of it.
Oh, okay. It looks like a grass. If I put that on, it's going to kill that ant. I've been pulling it out little at a time. There's probably 10 square feet of it.
I would just use. I think weed beater ultra will take care of it. I would just go ahead and spray it with that.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
All right. Enjoy your day. Have a great day. Yep.
Enjoy bye-bye. Your life.
Thank you so bye. Much. Yeah. Bye-bye. Morning, Albert Angelo.
Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing well. I put in three nice San Marzano tomato plants. They took off very well, got a lot of fruit on them. And then I noticed the pieces of tomatoes falling on the ground. And it turns out, I caught them red-handed, I got chipmunks going in there.
Yep.
And we put down mothballs. That didn't do anything. I bought a big restaurant-sized container of black pepper, put that down. That didn't do anything. And then I bought a big gallon jug at Lowe's of the it's basically rotten egg whites and garlic and some other stuff. We put that down, and that didn't do anything.
Yeah, chipmunks love tomatoes. They love to take a piece of it. They get the one chunk, and then they move on to the next one. Repelzol is about the only thing that I know that's worked pretty good for about 30 days on chipmunks. Put that right on the ground, right around the plants. That's about the only thing that I know that's worked pretty good.
Is that a liquid or
no? It's a granular. It's a granular.
I'm wondering, is that made by Bonide? Do you know?
Bonide, yes. Yeah, Bonide makes that.
That's the stuff I bought. It's just
Repelzol. Does it say Repelzol?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's specifically for chipmunks and other. But they're just walking right over that stuff. Yeah. I mean, they're like oblivious to it.
Yeah. They're, of all the creatures, they're about the toughest ones to control. But once they get in there, they're pretty resilient. But that's about the only thing that I've used that it's had some kind of control.
Yeah, we've never had a problem with them. My wife had climbing cherry tomato plants for years. We've never had a problem. All of a sudden this year, I just wonder if they're Italian chipmunks maybe.
They probably moved in. It's a shame because those San Marzano, that variety of San Marzano that we've had, it produces a crazy amount of tomatoes. The positive thing is that there's a lot of tomatoes on there. They produce like three tiers of tomatoes from the top to bottom, and there's probably about 30, 40 tomatoes on each one. So
they're loaded.
So, it's a tough animal to control.
Would you leave? My wife's insistent on picking up the tomatoes that are half eaten that are laying on the ground, and I said, you know, just leave those there.
I'd leave. They're gonna go to the bottom ones,
right?
So whatever they damage on the bottom, just leave those there. You're not going to hurt anything. You're better off having them there. So they got, they're not going to get to the second tier and the third tier, but they will get their first tier. They will definitely get to that.
So leave those.
I would just leave them down. Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to hurt anything. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
That's what we'll do then.
Okay.
Thank you, Angelo.
Yeah. Have a great day. Yeah. Bye bye.
You too.
Morning, Albert Angelo. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
How we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been having trouble with my tomatoes. It's nothing new. I get the leaf curl, and then the leaves turn brown, and then they die. I have one plant that's almost dead. I don't have that many tomatoes. I don't know what the problem is. I've had it for a few years, this problem.
Do you plant the tomatoes in the same spot every year?
Yes.
Yeah. See if you can change it up. See if you can move them, You have tomatoes and other things in there?
Yeah, I have some bushes, some other plants there in the same area.
Yeah, uh-huh. If you can, if you can move them around, that'll help. The leaf curl, and then you have to kind of really get ahead of it a little bit. You want to use the copper fungicide on them so that they don't get the funguses on it. And then the Captain Jack Dead Brew, which is an organic, it's really, really good for vegetables. I would go ahead and kind of use that, those two, a combination of them, so that you can prevent. It's all preventative. Once it's on there, there's really not much that you can do at that point.
So you think the fungus comes from the soil?
The soil and also airborne. That's what you're trying to prevent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had it to one degree or another for a few years. My plant is just about dead.
Yep.
The others are doing better.
And then, you know, there's also some varieties are more prone to it than others.
Mm-hmm.
Try different varieties, see the ones that do better. Better Boy, the Celebrity, are more resistant to that for the larger tomatoes. And like the Sweet 100s or the Sweet Million in the cherry tomatoes, those are the ones that they're more resistant. There's another one called Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great producer, and you know that does it, it regenerates itself. So even if you lose part of it, you cut it off, it regenerates. The plant keeps regenerating.
It's called Rapunzel.
Yeah. But these are, just go after, instead of trying to, the heirloom tomatoes are the least resistant to anything. They're the ones that they're more prone to diseases and funguses. The ones that have been cleaned up and taken all the, as much the diseases out as possible, those are the ones that really fare much better.
Okay, so, yeah, did you say the heirloom are the ones not to get?
The heirloom are the ones that they're more susceptible to the disease. You have to be a lot more attentive to the heirlooms versus some of the others that they are, they're disease resistant.
So it'd be best to move my tomato plants. I really don't have much room to move them to, actually.
If you don't have the room to move them to, then I would just kind of try go to those varieties that they are more resistant. And the Celebrity is a really, really good tomato. The Better Boy is a really, really good tomato. They produce, they're good producers, but they are much more resistant to the diseases.
I see.
Okay.
Okay. I guess that's it, Angelo.
All
thanks
right.
A lot.
Yep. Have a great day. Yep.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Morning, get out with Angelo.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
I have a question about a trumpet vine. It's about 20 years old or more and about 15 feet high. We want to get rid of it. What's the best way?
You just want to kill it and get rid of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the little shoots are coming up all over.
Yeah. What I, cut it down. Just cut it down to the ground.
Okay.
And then wait until the new growth comes, comes out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When that growth is very fresh, it's the best time to really get them. If you were to spray that plant now, it really wouldn't affect it a whole lot. But you get the new growth right out of the ground. The best time to do it would be really in the spring. That's when you're going to get a lot of growth out of it, right out of the ground. And you can hit it, burnout, it'll kill it. But it's going to take, what will happen is the first ones come out. You hit them, they'll kill. You'll get a few more. It'll probably take about three times until you kill the whole root system.
Now, is the roots going to be still traveling through the plants?
You're going to have to hit them. Whatever they come up, you're going to have to hit them all at the same time.
Okay, some of them right now are coming up in between a hydrangea plant. They're coming up. Like on the other side of, we have a pond. It's coming up on the other side of the pond and in the lawn.
Yeah,
quite a ways from where the tree is.
Yeah, they run for a long time and they got rhizomes on them. That's what you're seeing, come up. It's gonna take a little, some patience and some time to really go after it. You're gonna have to kill their root system. That's the only way you're gonna get rid of it. But it works best on the young, as it comes up and that fresh foliage is there, it works really well. So what I would do, you can, if you have lawns, if you got plants around there, you can put that in a bucket, put gloves on and use a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And with the sponge, you can kind of rub over the foliage that they're right by the plants. That's the easiest way to not to kill anything else and get it on the plant that you need to get rid of.
Okay, down by the trunk, for years my husband, it was all bare down there, and that trunk is like a lot of twists if there's no leaves on that part of the trunk, you still cut that all the way down to the ground.
Yeah, you want to cut that down to the ground, and you want to force the growth to come out. Where you make that cut, mm-hmm. what happens, the growth is going to come out of there.
Okay.
So as that comes out, you're going to have to hit it there the hardest. That's where the, you know, the main energy of the plant is. So what's going to happen when you cut it, next spring, you're going to get a whole new growth right over there. And as it, like it'll be like a mushroom of
okay.
growth. So when you see that that comes up, you hit it, and then it will come up again. It, you know, you'll get it. It'll be a lot weaker the second time. You know, you hit it again. And then kind of keep an eye, whatever it's running to, mm-hmm. that's where I would, you know, if it's in between plants, if you can just spray it, then I would go ahead and use a sponge to kind of get the foliage, whatever they're at. But like right now, if you got young foliage in, be, you know, by the plants, and I would go ahead and do that now.
So if we cut it down now, if growth still comes up, like in September, we could still apply.
You can still hit it, yes. Yes.
Okay, what did you say to use?
Burnout.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, have a great day.
Have a good day.
Yeah, bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Morning, get our Angelo.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, how we doing?
Okay, I have been told that we have cinch bugs in our lawn. I'd like to know where they come from. Will that grass come back this year? And what's the treatment for this year and years to come? We've never had this before.
Yeah, what I would do is I would use the infuse.
Infuse?
Mm-hmm. Or Scott Disease X.
Disease X.
Yeah, those two products, either one of those will work. And they're both, you know, they last about 6 weeks. Chinch bugs come from when you get these kind of temperatures with the moisture and the dryness and the humidity at night, that's what kind of really gets them going. But that's from the weakness of the grass. That's where they come out of. But hit them with that. They will take care of it. Wait a few days, and then you can go ahead and overseed in the areas that if you have any bare spots or areas that they have damage, just overseed right over it.
So use that stuff next year too, like in the spring?
I would use it in the spring, yes. I would use it in the spring.
All right. So the grass that's there now will come back or no?
The grass that's there now, some of it will come back. But if you have any bare spots over there, I would just go ahead and put some just overseed right over it.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a great day. Yeah, bye-bye. Well, the hour is pretty well gone. Beautiful day out there. Just absolutely beautiful week. We've had a little bit on the warm side and dry side. Just make sure that you keep some moisture on your plants. It also looks like next week it's a dry week. You want to make sure that you water your plants well, deep. Don't water them a little bit or don't water them every day. They don't need that. They just need a good soaking and then just let them go for 5 or 6 days until the next time if we don't have any rain. Then the same thing with your grass. Just, you know, water it half inch at a time twice a week if we don't have any rain. That's really what the grass needs. More than that or less than that doesn't do a whole lot of good. But if you're just putting, you know, very light watering on the grass, it does more damage than good. So if you're going to water it well. If not, just let it go dormant and let Mother Nature take care of it from there. Have a great week. I'll be back next Saturday. Bye-bye.